If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Are you ready?
Hey, think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
DJ Nation fam, what is up? What is happening? It's the DJ Nation podcast coming at you live, or maybe on recorded stream if you're catching on the back. But anyway, we're live. We're ready to get after it. It's the DJ Nation podcast powered by the Fantasy Authority. Ryan Williams here at Ryan Alexander underscore W is where you can find me on Twitter and X. Joined always by the usual suspect, my co-host, Mr. Kevin Steele at Fantasy Ref 13. The Godfather is where you can find him on Twitter and X. Kev, we got week six to talk about here. Just flying by, man. We got fall weather. Postseason baseball is going on. DFS streets are still good. Got a 10-game slate to break down and talk about. Why don't you talk to the people? Tell them how you're doing, how you feeling about this slate that's upcoming, and what's new?
I mean, same old, but I think a slate's kind of interesting. Feels a lot like last week's slate. We don't have any of, like, the stud quarterbacks on the slate. We're not going to have Lamar this week, or doesn't look like he's going to. He hasn't practiced again this week. They go on bye next week. I'd be shocked if he played. And then you don't have Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, any of the top guys, Jaden Daniels even on this slate. So I think it feels a lot like last week's slate where, you know, you're probably going to be more either, you know, low 6Ks or maybe some 5K quarterbacks here to talk about. And I just think it provides a little bit different of a path, allows you to get a little bit different on your builds. And so I think it's a fun slate. I like that they priced up Puka and Christian McCaffrey, who we didn't have on the slate last week because they played on Thursday night. And so, you know, both Christian McCaffrey and Jonathan Taylor and Puka Nacua have all been priced up in the upper 8K range. I think they should be in the 9K range, to be honest, but I still think They're probably not as expensive as they probably should be. But either way, I think this slate sets up pretty well. I think there's a lot of avenues to attack.
Yeah, DraftKings did a pretty good job with their pricing this week. I feel like I think this is the first week where we actually, you know, there's not a lot of value, right, at least at this time when we're coming at you live, recording the podcast on a Thursday night as we get into a slate that's a couple days away. And so, and there wasn't really anything that affected the slate from, you know, a Monday night lock, so to speak. So we got a really good slate here from a pricing standpoint and dynamic that's going to make things, you know, very even across the board. And Kev, you know, a lot of decision points that players make is at the quarterback position. And you alluded to it, like we don't have that many studs to choose from. So when we're looking at this slate and how we're going to attack it, it really becomes a game environment slate to me, which we've been talking about for weeks now on the DJ Nation podcast, of which game environment is going to blow up and really, you know, kind of set things apart when we have quarterbacks here that aren't really able to do it all on their own. You know, and we can get into that quarterback state of the slate here shortly. I did want to, you know, kind of mention, because you were kind of doing victory laps, I felt like, based on our show last week, Kev. And, you know, usually I ask you about how your weeks were prior, but week five, you know, we were pretty much on it. We didn't have the Rico Dowdle news when we recorded that pod, But you know, we've been doing well with our builds for the Millie team. You know, we've been getting, you know, I shouldn't even say close necessarily, but we've definitely been cashing, you know, 5x, 6x, 7x even on some of the Millie teams that we've been building so far this year. And really we're on, you know, a lot of some good stuff here. So the people are definitely going to be wanting the fantasy goodness yet again back from the DGEN Nation podcast in week 6. We got to give them what they want, Kev.
Yeah. Sorry. I was answering a question in the chat.
As he nods and keep going. No, it's fun. And we got to do it from the quarterback perspective first, right, Kev? So, you know, let's start out with some situations here that I think are interesting from a game environment perspective. You know, we don't have these, you know, do it all quarterbacks, right, that can kind of put the slate out of reach. So when we're thinking about that, the game environments that I'm looking at first, at least on my end, are the Carolina-Dallas game. Have interest in both of those quarterbacks. Actually, probably more interest in Bryce Young because of the way that Carolina shapes up. And with a popular running back, or expected to be a popular running back, I should say, who just did it in the week prior. It's actually a revenge game for Rico Dowdle. I love getting leverage when I compare the quarterback with the running back. And I do think that's an interesting game environment. Gonna be going back to, yet again, caveat, if Kyler Murray is healthy, the Indy Arizona game, gonna be played in the dome. If we can get Kyler Murray concentrated offense, I know it hasn't looked great for the Arizona offense for a couple weeks now. It feels like a couple years now, but you know, we know what they are capable of, and we know that the ball is only going to go to a select few targets there in that offense. And Indy's been, you know, tremendous so far to start the year. Their games have been really interesting. And then it probably lends itself to the Tampa Bay San Francisco game to me. And the reason being, and you know, some might say this is point chasey a little bit, maybe that'd be you, Kev. These Tampa Bay games, since Mike Evans has been out, have been absolutely bananas. I mean, we're looking at a 38-35 game against Seattle, who people, you know, people are on the Seattle defense last week. You know, we kind of talked, I think I talked about them as well, too, because they had been so good. But this Tampa Bay offense is just Philly the week before that, 25-31 game. They played the Jets, you know, not all a scary defense, but still have some playmakers, definitely in the front seven and the back four. And that was 29-27. So when we're seeing games, you know, pop off the page like this over, you know, getting around 50 points and over, you know, I definitely have interest in that. And, you know, whether it's Mac Jones or whether it's Brock Purdy, we got a concentrated offense in San Francisco. We know we have a concentrated offense in Tampa Bay. Gonna be popular pieces as probably one-offs or mini stacks, and going full game stack environment in that game makes it real interesting to me. You know, Baker Mayfield is 6,600. He's the second price. He's the second highest priced quarterback on the slate, potentially the highest priced quarterback on the slate on DraftKings if we don't get Lamar Jackson. So how many people are going to be willing to click on Baker Mayfield knowing that he's the most expensive quarterback on the slate and what that does for you? I do think that before I toss it to you, Kev, I am curious to know two things, I guess I should say. One is Matthew Stafford's ownership when it comes to attacking this Baltimore defense, because they have been a sieve all year, and we know that's a concentrated offense. They are going to be on the road. It is interesting to see. I would much rather play this game, if we had Lamar Jackson. With Cooper Rush being in there, it does worry me a little bit about how aggressive they will be going further into the game if they're able to control this one. But still think it's an interesting talking point. And then the other one is Drake May. How willing are people to go back to this kid, Drake May, because, you know, he's just performed on Monday night when people didn't think the Patriots had a chance of keeping up with the Bills, and they end up shocking the Bills, and there are no longer any undefeated teams in there. And they're getting to play a New Orleans defense that, you know, was a popular play last week. Later on in the week, it's in New Orleans. I feel like these games in New Orleans can always have a potential to kind of pop off indoors. And we do have some fun pieces on both sides of the ball there. So that might be an honorable mention for me as that New Orleans and in New England game. But for me, yeah, it starts with kind of Baker Mayfield and probably Mac Jones and, you know, probably Danny Dimes again, because I just keep going back to the well because I'm a glutton for punishment and want to get on one of these good weeks for him. Where are you at, Kev, this week with your quarterback play?
Yeah, I think most of the ownership is going to come in on, I think the two highest priced quarterbacks are going to be Stafford and I think are going to be Dak. I think that's where most people are going to want to go. I mean, the Dak side makes a lot of sense. That game total is the highest on this slate at 49.5. So that one makes a lot of sense to me that you'd want to get there. And I mean, I look at the, but I, what worries me with the Rams game, which don't get me wrong, it's incredible. And we just saw CJ Stroud go out and have a monster game, against that same defense. And that defense is, you know, we talked about it last week, and you know, you're kind of worried about, like, you know, can the Ravens do anything to push them to score a bunch of points. And, you know, they didn't need to, they just kept throwing the ball. Stroud threw four touchdowns, but you know, I think looking at it, like, one, I will say that Stafford is a really good play. And like, I just want to say, like, Stafford has been phenomenal this year. Stafford, he's definitely through five games. He ranks first in passing yards, second in passing touchdowns. He currently supports a very healthy 8.2 yards per attempt. He is second in both deep ball attempts and red zone attempts. And over his last two games, he's crushed with 28 and 26. And, you know, this team's actually been playing very fast. They're a very fast-paced offense, ranking third in pace of play and fifth in pass attempts per game. Those are all things you look for, you know, DFS, especially when you're stacking quarterbacks. And, you know, the Ravens defense has been horrible. They've allowed 270 passing yards and nearly three touchdowns per game to opposing quarterbacks, 25.4 DK points per game, which is the second highest rate behind only the Cowboys. And so, like, it makes all the sense in the world to go to Stafford. We know who to stack him with. It's a very easy stack. Stack him with Puka. You can stack him with Devontae. You could run a double stack with all three of them. But I just always get concerned when games like this, because, you know, this game can get out of hand quickly. They just give it to Kyren. And maybe just Stafford just doesn't have to do as much in this game if he's not going to be pushed. And so that would be the only concern I have with that. But I think some of the other quarterback plays, one is I love Sam Darnold this week. Sam Darnold has not gotten the roses that he deserves. I mean, he has been the most efficient quarterback in the league, and that's not hyperbole. He is, his 9.3 yards per attempt is first, not even close, which is absolutely ridiculous. He also ranks third in passer rating, fourth in EPA per dropback, and he is completing almost 80% of his passes so far through five games. He also ranks second in deep ball completion percentage, sixth in pressure completion percentage as well. If you're just wanting surface level stats, he's also seventh in passing yards and touchdowns, and he's top five in fantasy points per dropback. So, and honestly, this is a good matchup. I think people look at this Jaguars defense and think, well, this Jaguars defense has been pretty solid. I don't know if I want to play Sam Darnold here. And that just hasn't really been the case. They're allowing 260 passing yards per game and nearly two passing touchdowns and the seventh most DK points to quarterbacks. So Sam Darnold, and what you love about Sam Darnold is, again, you know who to stack him with. This isn't like, you know, playing the, like, Jordan Love or something like that, where the ball could go absolutely anywhere. And so it makes it really hard to stack. With Sam Darnold, you just stack him up with JSN, who's arguably been one of the best wide receivers in the league this year. And so right. I love Sam Darnold. I was on him last week. I was high on him last week. I'm high on him again this week. This is a phenomenal spot. Darnold has been really good so far this year. I agree with you on the Mac Jones stuff. Mac Jones in his three starts has thrown for at least 279 yards and is averaging two passing touchdowns per game. He scored 21 or more DK points in two of those three games. And the one thing that you love too is the 49ers are first in the league in terms of pass attempts per game, averaging 42 pass attempts per game. They're also a very fast-paced offense as well, ranking fourth in pace of play. Both obviously breed fantasy goodness. Now, it doesn't sound like Ricky Pearsall is going to play. Kyle Shanahan said yesterday that he doesn't expect him to play, but it does sound like Juwan Jennings could be back for this game. And Juwan Jennings is really cheap. He's like $4,900 this week. But the Bucs are a pass-funnel defense. We know that. They're allowing about 250 passing yards and two passing touchdowns per game and 21.5 DK points to quarterbacks, which ranks top six on this slate. So Mac Jones is also a good play. I do like getting to him. And then I think the other one, a little bit more risk here, just because you know you wonder what the other side can do, but I'm going to say it's Justin Herbert. And I get it that he has been very good after really starting off super hot, but I think now that Omarion Hampton is out, like I just can't see them leaning on and trying to be really run heavy. I know that's what they did last week. That was their game plan last week, to come out and try to be really run heavy, but it didn't work. They lost very convincingly to the Commanders last week, but now you're stuck with Hassan Haskins and Kamani Vidal now that Hampton's on. So I think they go back to being very pass heavy like they were previously. And so, I mean, Herbert is still averaging about 250 passing yards, two passing touchdowns per game. And this is, a very good matchup as the Dolphins are allowing the third most DK points to quarterbacks. So I think this is a spot where a get right spot for just Herbert here. And you want to stack him with Quentin Johnson. We kind of talked about it. Keenan Allen, Ladd McConkey finally, scored a touchdown. I guess he did something. And then you run it back with probably Jaylen Waddle, who now is very consolidated targets within that offense. Or you could go Darren Waller if you want. I'm a little bit less excited about Darren Waller just because the Chargers are pretty good against tight ends. But either way, I think Justin Herbert's also in play here. So I think those would probably be my top quarterbacks. I think you could play Stafford. There's some concern there. But I also think he's going to be really popular. If he is, I probably shy away a little bit. But either way, Herbert, Mac Jones, Sam Darnold, I think those are the three – of my favorite quarterbacks on this slate.
Yeah, I'm good with those. I mean, I think this is going to be a fun one where when we don't have these studs at the top, you start to talk yourself into some of these other plays. I am interested about the Herbert situation there going against Miami, because this has been a defense that we can target. We know Miami's kind of had their struggles on both sides of the football. But so, the Chargers are too, Kev. Like the offensive line is banged up. They don't have Hampton now. Their running backs are banged up. Quentin Johnson, he fumbles, gets in the doghouse last week. Like things just aren't going right, as you kind of alluded to. Like Herbert just had that hot start to the year and things have teetered off. So, and this is, always a weird one, right? The West Coast team, they travel to Miami. It's still kind of warm down there, or it's always warm in Miami, but kind of this thing where you're traveling West Coast and the sun being there, the way the stadium's set up, it's just weird games happen in the first 2 years when teams travel to Miami. So I'm curious to see how that one shapes up, because I could see that on both sides of this, or either side of the spectrum. I could see that being like a crazy bonanza game because of the way that both of those teams set up, where I could see it being just a field goal game and disappointing just with the way that the Chargers like to attack and play. Just real quickly, because I brought him up at the beginning and then didn't really talk about him, but Bryce Young, being 4,800, I feel like we're going to get, a spot from him, so to speak, and the way that this Dallas team, has really been allowing points to the quarterback position kind of all year. Fantasy points per game, DraftKings points per game, they lead those categories there for opposing quarterbacks. And, if you look at box scores, quote unquote, right, like Bryce Young isn't going to jump out of the page. But, there are some things to, think about, like the running game. They got Dowdle going. That's nice there. Jalen Coker is back practicing, so he could be another piece in this offense to kind of get things going there. And we see it happen all the time. He's only 4,800. He allows you to do so much. The pieces in this game actually aren't really crazy expensive, like outside of George Pickens. So you could really make an interesting game stack there in Carolina just by going the Bryce Young route versus the Dak route. I tend not to play Dak all that often when they're on the road with his home road splits. But you know, I do think that he will gain some popularity for sure, Kev, just because of the matchup there. Anything else you want to touch on at the quarterback position before we move it along?
You know, I mentioned the Packers, and you know, typically you would say, okay, they're playing the Bengals. We want to target the Bengals because the Bengals defense is horrible. But I think it's really tough to play Jordan Love. For one, if the Bengals are like 12.5 point underdogs in this game, and I thought it was funny once they acquired Joe Flacco, they remained a 12.5 point underdog. Like, it didn't change the line at all. And so Vegas does not feel any differently about that. But like, that would feel like a spot we'd want to attack. But like, I just don't think, like, with Jordan Love, like, one, if they're not pushed, they're not going to throw the ball. They're just going to run it down your throat. And secondly, like I already mentioned, like, I don't like playing quarterbacks like this because they're so hard to stack. Like, who do you stack outside of probably Tucker Kraft? Like, who do you stack Jordan Love with? And he's like, Tucker Kraft's really the only one that comes to mind that, like, because they spread the ball around so much. But I will say, like, that game environment obviously sets up well for, you know, for the Packers, especially coming off their bye. But with just how uncertain I would be with how to stack them, I just don't think I would want to get there. But that game does have some intrigue to me. I don't hate the call of Bryce Young. It's just he's shown zero ceiling this year outside of, the one game against Arizona where he put up 26.3 DraftKings points. That was the only game he really had. Everything else has been, you know, 14 or less DK points. And so, but I will say, I agree, the Cowboys defense has, I think, has produced a QB1 every single week of teams playing them. And the Cowboys really look like the Bengals of last year. Like, their defense is so bad, their offense had to be incredible. And Dak has been incredible. Like, Dak has been phenomenal this year. And he's done it even without CeeDee Lamb. Like, CeeDee Lamb, you know, missed, you know, after early in that Bears game, and he's still been keeping it going. Like, he's looked great every single game this year. And so those game environments are usually always going to be high scoring because the Cowboys can't stop anybody. And so, like, I don't hate going to Bryce Young. He is an easy stack guy because, like, you stack him with Tet McMillan, excuse me. I don't hate the idea of stacking with Rico Dowdle because he's going to be involved in the passing game as well. And so, like, I think you could do that. Like, that's an underrated stack that a lot of people don't do. Or I think, like you mentioned, like, Jalen Coker sounds like he's going to be back. And these two teams played each other last year. Jalen Coker scored 21 DK points against them last year. And so, against the Cowboys. So, you know, like, I don't hate it with Bryce Young, but I think it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, I think, thin of a play just because, you know, we just haven't seen a lot of good things come from Bryce Young this year. Like, Bryce Young looks like he should be benched. Like, they should be bringing in Andy Dalton to start a quarterback. Like, he's been that bad.
And so, easy.
I don't know.
Pump
like,
it breaks.
He's been horrible. He's either lost. I mean, he's turned the ball over a ton. He already has four interceptions. He's also fumbled three times. You know, we're talking seven turnovers already from him. Like, he's looked horrible. But
yeah, he had some good bounce back plays after those turnovers, though, after the miscues.
I mean, sure. I mean, if you want to, I mean, like I said, like, I don't hate it. I see the path. I see the upside there for him. But it also, like, I don't think it's like a slam dunk either.
No, I mean, definitely not. I'm not going to consider it a slam dunk play. I do think, however, you know, when you're able to free up some salary here, when we don't have the Josh Allens, we don't have the Patrick Mahomes, we don't have the Jalen Hurts, that's where I feel like you can get a little bit outside the box and take some shots on these, because if he goes out there and puts up one of those other 20, you know, point performances, and none of these other quarterbacks, you know, really, you know, do much. If he matches them at 4,800, you're going to be sitting pretty. You know, granted that you got your stack right, and if the game environment pops off, it feels like there could be something there. And I want to be ahead of the Kev before he has that game. We'll see if he can show some more flashes this week. Let's talk about running back, Kevin. You know, with not a lot of value on the slate, and this was really like the bread and butter of value, just with, you know, Rico Dowdle, mispriced running backs, of Breece Hall and, you know, Rashad White and etc. We don't have that really this week. You know, the running backs who were popular of yester Sunday, are now all priced up. You got Rashad White. He's at 6K. Rico Dowdle's all the way up at 5,800, seeing a 1,500 price increase there. So, you know, and even like a guy like Michael Carter, he's up to 5,300 from 4K after the Amari DiMercato fiasco that everybody saw going around with Jonathan Gannon getting in his grill, getting in his ass. For fumbling before the goal line. So, but with that being said, when there's not a lot of value, I tend to think that a lot of players, you know, want to get to these, you know, the running backs who they know are surefire plays. I still think Rico Dowdle is going to get some love at 5,800 just because of the output that he put out last week. Still a great play. Look at this game environment. Can't really talk anybody out of that. And him and Chuba Hubbard are priced at the same range. It looks like Chuba, you know, he's missing two practices already this week. So that'll be interesting. I mean, Christian McCaffrey, like you said, he's a 9K player. He's not priced as such. You play him at every matchup. Without George Kittle being there, no Ricky Pearsall, the work that he's seeing is just absolutely incredible. Don't have to be worried about the Tampa Bay defense with the way that his usage is. Jonathan Taylor is like an every week play as well, too. If you can fit him at 8,500, he's doing everything. It's going to be interesting if Kyler Murray can't go in this game, you know, in a home matchup. They could just feed him the rock, you know, 30 plus times and say, go, you know, go win the game for us. I think it's interesting when you get to the rest of these 7K running backs, you know, of like Devon Achane, you know, at 7,800, that's a price tag to really digest for him in this matchup against the Chargers. You know, I would love to normally get to Josh Jacobs being, you know, near two touchdown favorite at home, but the way that they've been moving the ball around in Green Bay, it makes it hard to trust. Of course, this is Cincinnati, so I mean, he'll go out and put up a three touchdown hat trick game because I'm talking about this, but you know, I don't know that he's one of the guys that I'm gonna be just wanting to get in my lineup. If he kind of fits, I might play around with that. Ashton Gentry's a little bit interesting to me at 6,900 going against this Tennessee defense, who's been okay, but you know, the Raiders need to do something. Geno's been struggling. The whole offense has been struggling. They can't really figure things out. Haven't really gotten things going since they played the Bears, and they need a spark, and that could be Ashton Gentry this week going against Tennessee to be able to feed him the rock. Kevin, I don't want to steal your thunder on some of these 6K running backs, but you have a ton of running backs to choose from in this 6K range that all make sense. Oh, and by the way, just kind of buried there is King Henry, Derrick Henry now at 6,200. And listen, I know it's tough. It's a tough pill to swallow right now without Lamar being in that offense. And he's looked pretty dreadful since his fumble issues to start the season. But, you know, 6,200 for a Derrick Henry, you know, in a game environment, like if I'm playing Matthew Stafford, I'm going to have some interest in getting Derrick Henry on the other side, because I want Baltimore to be able to score to keep Matthew Stafford aggressive to really pay off. So I think that's interesting. Outside of those guys, just in the 5K range, really quick, Kev, you know, I like the trajectory that Quinshon Judkins is on for Cleveland. You know, this Pittsburgh and Cleveland game, these games always play a little bit dicey. You know, ground and pound teams, these teams don't like each other. So I have interest in Quinshon Judkins and Jaylen Warren, both of these guys in the matchup there. I could see it being a real gritty game, and I think both of them are utilized in the offense enough. I know Kenneth Gainwell's been going for Pittsburgh, but the way that Jaylen Warren has been catching passes out of the backfield, I could see, you know, both of those guys being in play for me with their usage. And then, you know, the Ramondre Stevenson thing in New England, before I toss it to you, Kev, because I probably will have a little bit of interest in this game. Man, I just wish they would give Trevion Henderson more work. You know, they've invested a high draft pick in him, but you know, they kind of have a revolving door, and it's like Ramondre's not Vrabel's guy, but this is just their lead back. You know, Josh McDaniels is there again, and they're finding ways to get Ramondre the ball, and he's only, you know, 5,300 in this matchup. If we knew that he was going to get, you know, I wouldn't even like put it at the touch count necessarily, but just tell me that he's getting 65% of the work. If I knew that that was a foregone conclusion, granted there's no fumble issue, that this guy's going to get, you know, 65 to 70% of the work, you know, I think he's a really, really strong play at 5,300. It's just that, you know, Travion's waiting right there, and it just takes one fumble issue. Now with Antonio Gibson being out for the season, I do think that backfield is really enticing because, you know, it's one of those two guys. And so I think you could make some merits on playing those guys in game stacks. But that's interesting. I have no interest in the Chargers running backs, the backups this week. And I hope that they catch some steam because I have no interest. Kev, what are you doing at running back?
Yeah, I mean, I think outside of the obvious, Jonathan Taylor, Christian McCaffrey, because they don't really need an argument made for them. I think that it starts with Josh Jacobs for me. We already talked about this game environment. I already talked about this and, you know, how much the Packers will run the ball. And Cincinnati has been absolutely dreadful against running backs so far. They are allowing 33 DK points per game, which is 2 points more than the next closest to them. They've allowed the most rushing yards. They've been terrible against pass-catching running backs. They've already allowed, you know, 10 or 8 total touchdowns to running backs so far. And so, I mean, Josh Jacobs, $7,300, like, very, very good play, very strong play here. Past that, 100% agree with you on Ashton Jeanty. I think he's bounced back in a really positive way since, you know, the kind of starting off pretty rough to start the year, scoring, you know, 33.5 and 16 DK points the last 2 weeks. But he's also seeing a very healthy 75% opportunity share. And, he's top three in missed tackles forced. So there's lots of life there. But also, just you love this matchup because the Titans have allowed the second most rushing yard and the most rushing touchdowns to running backs. And they've also allowed the third most DK points to running backs. So everything aligns really well here for Ashton Jeanty. And so I think Jeanty is a phenomenal play. I'm definitely playing Rico Dowdle in this revenge game narrative that I know you like to dig into. But absolutely, he also, his role last week was phenomenal. Handled 70% of the snaps, ran 45% of the routes last week. Obviously, you know, breaking off 234 total yards and a score against the Dolphins, which the Dolphins have been horrible against running backs. But you know who else has been terrible against running backs? The Cowboys. The Cowboys run defense allowed the sixth most DK points to running backs so far this year. So Rico is definitely in play. 100%, Quinshon Judkins has been awesome so far this year. He's put up 71 or more yards and a touchdown in every game since making his debut. And he also ranks fourth in EPA per rush, 18th in yards per carry, and 16th in explosive run rate. Now, he's not running a lot of routes, only 22.4% of the routes. So that's not really an area he's really being involved in. But but I wish they would include him more because he's actually top 10 in yards per route run against right now. So I don't know why they don't utilize him as much. Seems to be Jerome Ford who's taking that role. But typically when you think about the Steelers, you think about how good their run defenses usually are. But that's not the case this year. They're allowing almost 100 rushing yards per game to opposing running backs. Pass-catching running backs are getting there as well, the eighth most receiving yards, pretty much a touchdown per game to running backs, and they've also allowed the 11th most DK points to running backs. So Quinshon Judkins is definitely in play for me, especially considering he is, $5,900. So at cost, yep, I think Judkins is a really strong play. And then, you know, I think past that, I think Javonte Williams is not getting another player that is not getting the hype that he should, especially at cost. Like, he should be rostered. This should be a player this week that's rostered over 30% of lineups because he is getting a true, true workhorse role in this backfield. These $6,400, they refuse to price him up into the 7K range, which is, I think, where he should be, because he's handling 16 carries per game and over 4 targets per game. He's top 5 in red zone touches, and he's been incredible. He's top, you know, he has third most rushing yards. He has the second most touchdowns. He's averaging over 21 DK points per game. He's top 5 in fantasy points per opportunity. Like, everything you will look for, even his true yards per carry, he's 5.2 yards per carry. Like, for a guy that was left for dead, last year, he has had a monster breakout season this year, and he is the true workhorse. And, like, these type of running backs typically are priced up, and we're getting him at $6,400 in a matchup against Carolina. Now, Carolina's been better against running backs this year than they have in years past, but they're still middle of the road in terms of production allowed to running backs. But whenever you're talking about a player who gets as much opportunity as Javonte Williams does, like, it makes it really hard not to want to jam him into your lineups at $6,400. So I like him. I also like Kyren Williams. It feels gross, but the Ravens are terrible, and the Ravens defense is terrible. And in game scripts for where the Rams are leading, especially heavy favorites, it's no surprise that Kyren Williams sees like a 3-point DK point per game boost. So I think Kyren is a sneaky play where everybody wants to go play the Rams passing attack. I think going Kyren Williams at $6,300. Now he is not necessarily seeing the same like absolute workhorse role that he typically does, but I still think he's a really solid play at $6,300. I think you can get him. I think you can go there with him. Other than that, like in terms of the other running backs, you look at, I guess, like if you like want to get a little bit different, like Tony Pollard, I guess, against the Raiders. But you know, we do have Tajay Spears back now. Now I will say, on the surface, Hassan Haskins, like if you just look at like just how, like I said, how bad the Dolphins run defense is, like you could tell yourself a story about Hassan Haskins. I just don't think I could get there because I don't think either of these running backs are good. Like I just don't. I don't think Hassan Haskins. I don't think Kamani Vidal is good, you know, and I really just don't have any interest in playing them. And so I'm sure they're going to get some ownership here in this matchup, especially with coming off what Rico Dowdle just did to them. But I just can't get there. Maybe if they were like in the 4K range, maybe I would have a little bit more, you know, thought of playing them. But I just can't really get there. And then, you know, other than that, like I don't think there's a whole lot else that I really want to get to. You know, I wouldn't blame anybody if they want to play Kenneth Walker with how explosive he is against the Jaguars. Rashad White saw a massive role last week with Bucky Irving out. Bucky Irving's already been ruled out for this week. So, like, yeah, I think he's another running back that you definitely could get to because he's game script proof. Like, if they fall behind, he's still going to be the pass-catching running back. If they're ahead with the role that he had last week, he's still going to be that guy. So, I think Rashad White also makes some sense.
Yeah, all good points to bring up there, Kev. Just to reiterate, the Chargers running backs are just off the radar for me. I won't be playing either of them because I don't think they're good. And when there's two guys, who do you trust in a new situation like this? So, just not for me. Love that you brought up Kyren Williams, glossed over him because he's one of my favorite mid-range running backs this week. I feel like you could play him in a one-off. He's good leverage. You can honestly like play him with a pass catcher from the Rams, with or without Stafford. I think both of them make sense the way that the ball is kind of flowing through this offense. So really like that shout out there. For me, it's going to be, you know, I'll get Rico Dowdle because I'm playing Bryce Young and not. So I like getting to Dowdle. I'm going to have some Kyren exposure, Javonte Williams exposure. I absolutely love that call. So listen, I might be playing Javonte Williams and Rico Dowdle as a running back block in the same game. Just the way that both of the game sets up for both sides. Like I could just see myself just doing that and really feeling good about it and calling it a day. I mean, I want to get some exposure to Jonathan Taylor, Christian McCaffrey, and then probably Josh Jacobs. It's going to be tough for me to play HN, but you know, I think in a game stack, I could talk myself into it a little bit. But as one-offs, you know, those three guys at the top, and then a lot of Javonte Williams and Rico Dowdle, and then kind of mixing in, you know, some of these other guys that I talked about, like Quishon Judkins, Jaylen Warren, maybe even Rashad White in that game because he's 6K. I could see myself doing some things with that. And then, yeah, we'll keep monitoring so far. But right now, not a lot of value that's jumping out, especially at the running back position, which will make for some fun builds. Kev, wide receiver, is it Puka's world and everybody else and we're just living in it? I don't know. But he's 8,700. He's the highest priced player on the slate. His usage has just been absolutely incredible. I know you got the numbers. I'll let you dive into him. He's going against the Ravens team. I mean, what else is left to be said? It's just what it's not even a worry. Like I think you could just pencil this guy in for 20 plus DK points, like every week, the way that he's seeing usage here, where he starts to get, you know, to the 30 and 40 range. It's where, okay, I might start thinking about Baltimore pieces to bring back with him. You know, definitely stacking him with Stafford in that case, if you're expecting, you know, that really big game from him. But at 8,700, even though he's underpriced for the role that he has, I think that this on this slate, it makes for a conversation to be had of if Puka is going to be anchoring your lineups from a GPP perspective. From a cash perspective, you're playing Puka. You're not even thinking about it. If you're playing cash or playing double ups, this dude has to be the first person on your roster because of the workload he's seeing. JSN has been awesome. It's been great to see him kind of flourish in this offense and role. And now he gets a Jacksonville team. He's priced just a little bit higher at 7,600, but he's just an incredible one-off play that I just feel like you have to have exposure to every week. Same with Igbuka, this rookie out of Tampa. Without Mike Evans being there, like, Baker's just finding ways to feed this kid the ball. And I think they're both in play yet again. Like, their price tags aren't much higher than what they were last week, and even though they're not in the same game, they still drive a lot of interest for me. I liked what I saw on the island game there out of Brian Thomas Jr. You know, you wish that Lawrence and him could just get on the same page a little bit more, but potentially this matchup against Seattle might lend itself a little bit more to him. I'm not saying that he's a favorite of mine or that I'm starting lineups with him, but I'm keeping him in the back of my mind at only 6,200 to play. Absolutely love Tet because I'm going to have Bryce Young exposure and you just play Tet with him. Even with Jalen Coker being back, I think, you know, makes for a fine play. And then some one-offs that I'm looking at, you know, in the mid 5K range and below. Marvin Harrison, I think, you know, I would really want Kyler to be playing, but he's only 5,300. I feel like he can definitely pay that price tag off as a one-off. I'm Juwan Jennings and or Kendrick Bourne because how concentrated the San Francisco offense is. I like them with Mac. I like them solo, especially if Jennings is healthy. I'll try to get to that as well. And then, you know, Calvin Ridley, he's only 4,900. He has yet to score a touchdown this year, but you could see him starting to get on the same page with Cam Ward last week. Saw those 10 targets and really was able to make the most of them with it with his ADOT. And, you know, if he's going to be seeing, you know, an elevated target share, I'll have interest in him, have interest in a guy like Chris Olave, and really getting my one-offs from those players who have, you know, high equity target shares. Now I do have interest in like the Indy passing attack, but I want to play him with Danny Dimes. I do have interest potentially in the other side there in Arizona if Kyler's playing. I think Zay Flowers would be a cool leverage play in that game environment if we're doing a mini stack. He's only 6,200. I know he's been popped up on the injury report, but, you know, he was able to get the ball from Cooper there. They just had to find ways to move the ball, and he's an interesting leverage play for me. And then Jacoby Myers, before I toss it to you, Kev, he's only 5,800. I could see myself playing him as a one-off too. Again, the Raiders, they got to do something to get the offense going. Jacoby Myers, I think, has to be at the forefront of that. He's just, you know, he's so good, and they're just not utilizing him appropriately going against this Tennessee team. He's only $5,800, I believe $200 more than he was last week, and he was super popular, let people down with only 7.2. This is a bounce back week for him. He plays in the late window. I think he could be an awesome one-off play. Where are you going with wide receiver this week?
Yeah, I mean, I think first, I mean, just with Puka, I mean, it's just like, this dude already has 52 catches already. Like, it's absolutely insane. He's on pace to break the single season record for the most receptions in a season. And
this really doesn't have anything to do with the slate. But since we talk about it, Kevin, we don't usually talk about these things together. Like, what is his price going to be at the end of the season?
I mean, if he keeps on this
path, he's 8,700 now.
And if he's on this path, I mean, he's got to be like Cooper Kupp was a few years ago whenever he was going nuclear. And I think he's going to be close to 10K. Like, I think
he might break 10K.
Yeah, I think it's definitely possible. Like, he's just an absolute cheat code right now. And his usage is incredible. And like you said, like, he's consistent. Now, as he creeps up, he's going to have to start putting up, like, you know, he's for him to kill you, you're going to need that, like, 36-point week that he had a couple weeks ago against Indy and stuff like that for him to, like, to really kill you. Because if he only puts up 25, that's probably not enough to get it done at a heavy price tag. And so, but, you know, even at 8,700, I still don't think that's probably – it's definitely not enough for the usage and the volume and how he's performed so far. So, like, yeah, I mean, he's always going to be in play. But I think in terms of, like, some of these other wide receivers that are on the slate, like, JSN, 100% agree. You know, I don't need to say anything more. Igbuka also, both of these dudes have absolutely crushed so far this year. Like, JSN is, like, you know, light Puka Nacua right now, the way that he's played. And so, but I think some of the other options here that we could talk about, you kind of mentioned Ted McMillan, and I agree. I mean, he's seeing usage like that. That's not really been the problem. He's already been targeted 43 times. That's the same amount as JSN. And he ranks 9th in market share of air yards. He's seeing a 30% first read target share. Like, all those things have been great. But like you mentioned, he hasn't scored a touchdown yet, despite being top 15 in red zone targets. And so he's been consistent, but like, he hasn't had any spike weeks because he hasn't found the end zone yet. And so this definitely could be a spot that could happen. The Cowboys have been terrible. You know, like I've said, their whole defense is pretty much terrible. The Cowboys defense has allowed by far the most receiving yards to opposing wide receivers. They're tied for the most receiving touchdowns, and they've allowed 4 more DK points per game than the next closest defense. So, like, if there was a spot to break out, like, and have a huge game in a spike week, this is it for Ted McMillan. And so I really like him. I really like Stephon Diggs, who has really separated himself as being really the number one wide receiver in this offense. He's now been targeted the last two weeks. He's been targeted 19 times. He's amassed 250 receiving yards and 20.3 DK points with a 30.4% target per out run rate, which is top 4 among wide receivers. And, you know, he's also 11th and already in yards after the catch, which is pretty surprising considering he's coming off a torn ACL and he's damn near 32 years old. But he's been awesome the last 2 weeks. And so I think he's a really solid play at 5,800. And then, you know, I think some of the other wide receivers, I do agree with you. I think Calvin Ridley is kind of interesting here against the Raiders. The Raiders secondary is terrible. He's seeing an okay 27% first read target share, but like, everything else has been pretty average so far for Calvin Ridley. You know, last week was kind of the first week he kind of got going. So we'll see if they're able to keep it going. But like I said, the Raiders are allowing the 4th most receiving yards, 5th most receiving touchdowns to wide receiver, and allowing the 4th most DK points to wide receivers. So I think Calvin Ridley's in play. I think another one that I like in that same game, though it's not – I think Jacoby Myers is a good play, but I also think so is Trey Tucker, who's running 95% of the routes. Obviously, he has you know, has that huge spike week where he scored, 40 DK points or whatever, that 40 burger he put up. But I think this is a good spot. I think 6 to 8 targets, I think, is probably a fair, you know, estimation here for him this week, especially with the likelihood that Brock Bowers probably doesn't play again. And so, again, this week. So, and the Titans have allowed the 9th most DK points to wide receivers. So, I like Trey Tucker as well. I think he's $4,800. I think you can play him there. I think other than that, like some of the other wide receivers, I think you could probably talk me into Josh Downs, even though I think Alec Pierce will be back this week. And then Alec Aromaner, like, he hasn't got there yet. He hasn't had that big week. But where the Raiders have really struggled is outside X wide receivers, which is what Aromaner is playing for them. I think you could look there as another option. And then a cheap option, and I don't know, I can't decide if it's Point Chasey or not, but Ryan Flournoy last week put up 21.4. But what encourages me, it'd be different if he was targeted a couple times. Let's say he just ripped off a long touchdown, and that's kind of how he got there. But he was targeted 9 times last week. Kevontae Turpin's not going to play again this week. He hasn't practiced at all. And Jalen Tolbert is just awful, just fucking terrible. And so, like, I think there's something here with Flournoy. Like, he is an athletic wide receiver. He's kind of been buried a little bit on the depth chart. But I think this is, like, his 3rd year in the league. But I don't hate it. Like, I think as a value play, as a punt at $3,600, maybe a part of a game stack here, I don't mind them against the Panthers here. So I think all the, you know, I think you'll see the Panthers really try to take away George Pickens, which is what the Jets tried to do last week. And the Cowboys are more than comfortable going with Ryan Flournoy here. And so, like, I don't hate him as a punt option either. I think he could, he's somebody else I think you could probably look at.
Yeah, I think it will depend on the tournaments types that you know people are playing in. But yeah, I like that call from Florida, because there is just so much uncertainty outside of George Pickens, and George Pickens is not, you know, I think he's an awesome player. I loved rooting for him in Pittsburgh despite all of the woes, but he's not going to be that Jackson Smith and Jigba. He's not going to be the Emeka Buka. He's not going to be the Puka Nacua. You know, he kind of, you know, he'll make these big plays every now and then, but Dak's just not going to pepper him with targets like a CeeDee Lamb, who's on the same team, just injured. So, you know, when we can get a cheap guy who's going to be on the field, you know, just as much, that always makes it interesting. So yeah, love that call out by you, Kev, for him. A popular waiver ad in some leagues, deep waiver ad in some leagues this week as well too. Anything else at wide receiver, Kev, you want to cover before we talk about tight ends?
I know you mentioned that, but I just want to reiterate, I think Juwan Jennings does play this week, and if he does, $4,800, like, we're jamming him in against the Bucks. So, like I said, Ricky Pearsall likely is not playing. I mean, Shanahan's pretty much already said that he expects him not to play. Sounds like a PCL injury for him. And so I do think Juwan Jennings does play. And so I think him, and even maybe Kendrick Bourne, I think you can look there. That connection that him and Mac Jones have, I think, is real. Kendrick Bourne is 5K. Like, that's a little bit pricey for Kendrick Bourne, especially considering that you can get to Juwan Jennings that's cheaper. I probably would look to go, if it was me, I would go Mac Jones, Juwan Jennings, and I think I would go Jake Tonji's. I know we haven't got tight end yet, but that's probably where I would go over playing Kendrick Bourne. But, you know, I think he's at least in play, somebody that you could look at as well. I think he would be another option that I would look at. But Juwan Jennings, I think, is a phenomenal play this week.
Yeah, it is curious to think about, right, how things go, because I don't believe we've seen a game with Juwan and Kendrick Bourne being out there for Mac attack. It's been, you know, Mac is kind of really, you know, he has the rapport with Kendrick there, and we saw that come to fruition in the last Island game that they were in. And Juwan's had that rapport with Brock Purdy for quite some time. So it'll be curious to see who ends up being the alpha come Sunday in this offense. But yeah, I think getting exposure to one of the other and or both. I mean, the way that this offense is set up, you know, I think you could really make a strong case that, you know, these could be really strong payouts at their potential price tags. So makes for a fun conversation.
So the other one that we didn't talk about would be, what are your thoughts on Brian Thomas Jr.? I know he struggled. I know last week was kind of his best game, where he had 4 for 80. But I will say that the Seahawks defense is extremely banged up right now, and especially their secondary, where it looks like Devin Witherspoon, looks like he's probably not going to play. And then Reek Woolen also suffered a concussion last week. And so, we're not sure even if Julian Love, their safety, is going to play. So, like, this could be a spot to attack with Brian Thomas Jr., who's only $6,200. I know he hasn't been great this year, but, like, it feels like maybe they're starting to, you know, build something there between him, and he's $6,200. Like, getting in early on that might be the way. And like I said, the Seahawks defense is extremely banged up.
Yeah, love to hear that the Seahawks defense is banged up, because yeah, he's one of the first names that I brought up, Kev. I think, you know, BTJ, we all want to be ahead of the curve when it comes to what his, you know, breakout performance for the season is going to be, and what a better spot to do this in, right? You know, just coming off of that Monday night, just whatever was going on, or that wasn't even, when was that, Sunday night, whatever it was, the improbable win that they have against Kansas City, and, you know, finally starting to see some things come to fruition of them trying to scheme him work. You know, when you're thinking about the other guys who are out there, you know, you got Travis Hunter, a rookie, playing both ways, not seeing a full snap share at the wide receiver position. Then it's Diami Brown and like Parker Washington and things like that after BTJ. Like, when if not now, are they going to try and get this guy going? So, and Liam Cohen, I think, is, you know, of that right mindset to be able to scheme up some things for him. So, yeah, 6,200 just feels, you know, this would be one of those things where we look back and like, wow, 6,200, Brian Thomas Jr., really? Like, how do we miss up on that on a slate like this? I love getting to him as a one-off for sure.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel about it.
Kev, let's talk about tight ends real quickly, because, you know, a tale as old as time. You know, I kind of talked about it last week. Like, you know, we talked about Jake Ferguson kind of being there, but like, you know, any of these other guys you kind of play with game stacks. And, you know, Jake Ferguson ended up being super popular last week because nobody really knew what to do. And it was like, you just play Jake Ferguson. And then when the chalk tight ends hit, you definitely want them, or you're pretty much dead without them. And, you know, he puts up a 23-point performance last week on DraftKings, and was really in a lot of builds that were, you know, sending out screenshots on Twitter and X and elsewhere. Last week, he's only $200 lower than Trey McBride, who's the highest priced tight end on the slate. So that's the state of tight end that we're dealing with here. Again, you've mentioned it a couple times, Brock Bowers could be likely to miss yet again at 5,100. So, you know, we get Trey McBride, we get Jake Ferguson, we get Tyler Warren, and then we get Tucker Kraft, Kev. You know, I really am not interested at all really in the Green Bay Cincinnati game outside of Josh Jacobs. But then it comes to like a guy like Tucker Kraft, who just, you know, he's been seeing a really spiked target share this year with Jordan Love, and they've got a couple injuries to their wide receiver group. You know, if we can get some solid productivity out of Tucker Kraft, and, you know, I don't know, do we expect this to be that 2-touchdown blowout? Maybe, maybe not. But at a position that has just not been great to us all year, $4,700 Tucker Kraft definitely looks digestible. Outside of that, again, you know, I say it all the time every week, but going to be looking to target, you know, my tight ends with my quarterbacks and who I'm playing. So really have interest in one-offs of, you know, I could definitely Jake Ferguson, Tyler Warren for sure, Tucker Kraft for sure, potentially some Hunter Henry as well too. And then, you know, when we scroll down, I do think, you know, a conversation can be had on these Cleveland tight ends in Harold Fannin and Njoku. You know, they're both being involved so much and getting so much work. And they still refuse to just price them up, I guess, because they're sharing duties, or I'm not really sure what's going on there. But going against this Pittsburgh defense, I think they both could be in line for some really good work this week. Probably prefer Njoku just slightly a little bit more, only $100 more, but I think either one of them you could play roulette with and just pick your poison there. Kev, what say you at the tight end position? Where you see yourself going this week?
Yeah, man. I mean, Jake Ferguson has been phenomenal this year. He's been the number one tight end in football. It's incredible usage. We know Dak loves his tight ends. He has scored, you know, just the last four games, 16.8, 21.2, 17, and 23.9 DK points. I mean, he has seen seven or more targets in each of the last four games or more. So, like, just the workload's there. Everything's there. I mean, $5,300, like, he's going to be phenomenal, but he's also going to be one of the highest on tight ends on the slate. Tyler Warren, also strong play, $4,900. Tucker Kraft, really like him. The Bengals have been terrible against opposing tight ends. He's 4,700. Hunter Henry, I definitely agree with you on that. You know, Hunter Henry, at least his usage has been up and down for a lot of this year. He has two games, eight or more targets, and he has three games with four or fewer. But he's been really efficient with his targets, because he ranks first in deep targets, second in red zone targets. He's also seventh in yards per out run and has an incredible 14.7 yards per reception, which is top two among tight ends. And this is a good matchup. The Saints have the Saints defense have allowed the most touchdowns to opposing tight ends and the sixth most DK points to tight ends. So Hunter Henry, I think, is a really good play. I think Jake Tonji's, like I've already said, is a very good play. He's been targeted 16 times the last 2 weeks, And, you know, his 20% target share is pretty strong as well. He's also already seen four end zone targets, which is top 11 among tight ends. So I think, obviously, you know, it sounds like George Kittle is going to be back next week. So I think it's still a really strong spot to play him. I don't mind Darren Waller, but I think he's going to be more popular that I probably would just stay away from him because of how much, because I think he's going to draw a lot of ownership. I don't know if like right now, you know, Brock Bowers has yet to practice this week. I don't think he plays. If he doesn't, Michael Mayer should be back this week, and he's cleared concussion protocol, so he should be good to go to play this week. And he's only $3,100. And so I think that's also another avenue to go to. And I remember, I mean, Michael Mayer was a former, you know, pretty high drafted tight end before they went out and drafted Brock Bowers. Like, a lot of people were surprised when they drafted Brock Bowers. So Michael Mayer at $3,100, I think, is a very good cheap option at tight end as well.
Yeah, like that call out, especially when we can vacate, you know, the target share that Brock Bowers pulls in. They got to go somewhere. The Darren Waller thing's kind of just real interesting to me. You know, he comes in kind of at the right time to get going with the Tyreek Hill injury, and Tua's made no he's gotten him going early. Like, there's been no hesitation to kind of feed him the rock, even with as long as he's been out of football, and just really just crushing hopes and dreams for people on, you know, these isolated slates so far to start this year. So if he is popular, Kev, this will be the week that he, you know, lets down and only puts up 4 points here against Derwin James and that Chargers secondary. Let's talk about defense, Kev, before we build a lineup for the people. And before we do that, you know, as we get to that hour, Mark, shout out to everybody who's been rocking along with us live here on the DGEN Nation podcast, powered by the Fantasy Authority. You can follow the Fantasy Authority on Twitter and X at @FF_Authority. We're breaking down the NFL DFS Week 6 picks from the DraftKings perspective here on the DGEN Nation podcast. Link is in the description for the Discord. We hope to see you guys there rocking along, and everybody who's rocking along in the chat right now, live pretty much, I mean, basically midnight Central Time, 1 a.m. on the East Coast. You know, we got the loyal DGEN Nation crew rocking with us always, and we definitely absolutely appreciate that. We appreciate everybody who's listening back too on their podcast, on their favorite podcast software. Hit that like button or download, subscribe to the channel. We appreciate all of that. Do that same thing on YouTube. Kev, let's talk about defense here. You know, I know since the DJ Nation pod, pretty much since the iteration, I feel like, you know, you and Maddie for sure have always talked about paying down at defense or putting in your defense last, whatever fits. There are some interesting spots, I feel like, in that, you know, in that 3K range, to be able to get to, and I've just been doing practice builds right now, haven't gotten all too aggressive, but the Colts one for me is one I'm definitely going to monitor with Kyler Murray's status being kind of up in the air. So definitely have some interest in them at 3,300. I think, you know, as much as I love the Carolina play and will be playing Bryce Young, I am kind of interested in the Cowboys at 3K. I think it's kind of interesting if they're able to get pressure, and, you know, Bryce Young struggles like the way that he does. If those actually come to fruition, your leverage off of a popular running back on the slate, even though they are 3K, you know, if Eberflus can kind of get this defense going, this maybe could be a spot against Carolina. And I think I'll be playing both sides of the ball there. When we talk about paying down at defense, you know, people were on the Saints last week at 2,200. They're only 2,400 here against New England. That's not where I'm going necessarily this week, but all to say that, you know, we could always have some popular defense shape up down in this range, and we can see it, you know, pay off. Saints last week, Browns a couple weeks ago going against Green Bay. There's definitely some merit to be had there. I think I'll have some interest, not necessarily on my main team, but hey, this depends on how things fall with Miami, Kev. I know that they've been tough to trust all season long, but you know, this Chargers team, they're missing pieces on the front line or on the offensive line, excuse me. They're missing, you know, their stud running back and have, you know, crappy ass running backs behind them. Justin Herbert has really kind of, it looks like he's just forcing the issue. They just haven't been in sync on offense for the past couple of weeks. And it's Miami at home. You know, it's still early October. Things get weird down there in Miami at this time of year. So 2,200 for me, I think, if they carry some interest. And then, of course, Titans going against the Raiders, got to bring them up. Kev, what are you doing this week at defense?
We have interest in two defenses, and they're both cheap. First one's going to be the Cleveland Browns against Pittsburgh. And the Browns defense has been really solid all for the most part all year. Yeah, they have had some games where things have gotten away. But I blame the more of that on the offense than anything. But the Browns defense is 2,500. The other one, I don't think it's going to carry a lot of ownership, but it's going to be the Tennessee Titans here. They're $2,400, so just a little bit cheaper. But Geno has been pretty much awful all year. And Geno's been sacked 16 times, which is top five among quarterbacks. And so I think he's definitely, that is also, you know, an issue. Then you also have the fact that they have turned the ball over at the second highest rate in the league, trailing only the Bengals. And the Titans, one thing they've actually done a pretty good job with this year is they actually rank top 12 in creating turnovers, and they've caused a turnover on 10% of offensive drives so far, which is a top 12. And so for a team that turns the ball over a lot, I think the Titans are a really interesting play at $2,400 and, you know, against the Raiders this week.
Definitely. Definitely. I like those two calls a lot. I think those are the front. Even, you know, Pittsburgh defense, I mean, they're at 3,600. It's going to be tough to get to possibly on this slate the way pricing is. But these Steelers, Browns games, you know, they always play weird like that. So getting exposure to the defensive side of the ball in these matchups is always one that I look into doing. Kev, let's build a lineup for the people before we sign out. It's the DJ Nation podcast, guys, and you know how we do it here every week. Build a team in the Millie Maker contest. It's that 2.75 fantasy millionaire contest, million to first place, 161,000 plus entries. But we just love to have fun here. We throw a little $20 in every week, build a lineup for the crew, build a lineup for the DJ Nation fam. And maybe you can follow along, make some tweaks of your own, submit the lineup as is. You know, we'll see what happens. It's okay chopping if we chop with the DJ Nation fam. So, Kev, without further ado, why don't you build the lineup for us, or start the lineup build for us for week six?
Sam Darnold.
All right. Just going at it right off the bat. So, playing Sam Darnold, we're throwing JSN in there immediately.
Let's complete the little stack here. We'll go with A.J. Barner at tight end.
Okay. I like it. Can't talk about him and not put him in the team. So Brian Thomas Jr. goes in at 6,200. So right now we have two running back spots open, wide receiver, flex, and defense with 54.40 left per position. Not a bad way to start the team.
Yeah. I'm just going to plug him in there. Let's go with the Browns defense.
Browns D. All right. Let's put in Dowdle, 5,800.
All right. I like the correlation here with the Browns. I'm going to go with Quinshon Judkins.
Okay. I thought for sure you were going to go Javonte, but let's go there. 6,500 for two spots left. You got somebody you're eyeing, Kev? You know, I do. Well, yeah. I mean, so I would say in this scenario, like, I like getting exposure to Rams. So I could get behind Kyron. And just hope that all the touchdowns come his way in this game against Baltimore. I do like Jinty. I don't know that we need to pay up crazy. I think there's some value wide receivers there. So, I'd be cool with the 6K running back. And playing three running backs, you know, with a running back in the flex always still feels like it's, you know, a little bit contrarian to me. I think everybody tries to get four wide receivers on their team versus three running backs, especially when there's not value, you know, that opened up like last week.
So you went Kyron? Is that what you went?
Yeah, I'm just holding him in right now. I mean, Kyron, 6,300, so that leaves 6,700 for a wide receiver, which is really only one player necessarily. So that's why I was asking if you like had anything in particular that you were eyeing for. See what we can make work.
How would you feel about making a small change? I think Tet McMillan makes a lot of sense, and you know, I really like Tet, but I don't really know about playing two Panthers without Bryce Young, right? And mm-hmm. so, like, I just don't like maybe swapping off Dowdle to Javonte, and then we could always still. I mean, we could easily still. I mean, obviously, still play Kyron as well. I mean, he doesn't have to change out of the lineup, but I don't know.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's look at what we got here as far as the slate goes. So, yeah, all three of our running backs, if I'm not mistaken, are playing the early window there, right?
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter who we put in the flex. Javonte, Kyron Williams. Okay. Yeah, let's roll with it. As always, we reserve the right to make changes to these teams, and we'll be sure to let you know if changes are made. But we have salary left on the table this week, which is not something that we could say last week. We got Sam Darnold is our quarterback, Javonte Williams and Quinshon Judkins and Kyron Williams at running backs with Kyron in the flex. JSN, BTJ, Tet McMillan are our wide receivers, rounding it out with Browns D, 100 left on the table, and we submit that in as the DGen Nation Podcast Millie Maker lineup. Kev, you got any final words that you want to say to the people as we get ready to sign out for week six and let the people build their winning lineups, build their GPP winners?
Well, I think it's a fun week. I think we got some healthy, you know, I think we got some healthy game environments to target here this week. And, you know, I think whenever you have weeks where you don't have like the absolute stud quarterbacks on the slate, I think it allows you to get a little bit different and build a little bit different. You know, it's nice that there we don't, because last week we had so many value running backs. We don't really have that this week. And so I think it kind of allows you to get a little bit different, think a little bit outside the box versus doing the, you know, just exactly what everybody else is doing.
No, absolutely. Absolutely love that. And yeah, we got some, we don't have like a clear path, at least at this time, that's forming. So it allows for a lot of people to get a little bit off the board, especially in GPPs, and really just trust your instincts. You know, a lot of the projections and their sims, and there's so much content that's out there. But you know, no greater feeling to ship a GPP when you have done it, you know, based on your own research, based on your own thoughts, and put the pieces together. So everybody's always got to keep that in mind. We're always preaching that here at the DGen Nation Podcast. It's been the DGen Nation Podcast, breaking down NFL DFS week six picks, powered by the Fantasy Authority at FF_authority is where you could find the Fantasy Authority on Twitter and X. Signing off for the Godfather himself, Kevin Steele at FantasyRaf13 on Twitter and X. Ryan Williams here at RyanAlexander_W is where you can find me on Twitter and X. We're 6 weeks almost in the books, guys. Crazy to think about, seasons flying by, but we appreciate every week that you guys come and rock along with us. We'll catch you next week for the week 7 breakdown. But until then, you guys already know what to do. Get this money. We'll see you next time. Peace. Who you're talking to? Well, you better get used to the way the war battles. I see what you got in measures and ounces, but that's a break, boy. Yeah, that's a break, little man. Break it down. Dangerous, you know. Dangerous, you know. Think you're a big man? Treat you like you're a little man. Don't tell me what it's like to be half a man. It must break your heart to see what I am. What? That's a break, boy. Yeah, that's a break, little man. Break it down. Yeah.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.